Blog Talk Radio.
Because I need to rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. You know, the enemy, my pastor always says the enemy comes before or after a move of God. And God has been moving in my church. God's been moving in my life. And what happened? I come home from work last night and my washing machine is full of water and all these wet clothes have been put in my dryer. I wanted to cry, but God will do what he has to do to get to where you need to go. You know, I had to get some clothes ready for work that were in the dryer, but they weren't drying, so I had to go old school and take all the heavy clothes and hang them up. Remember how we used to hang clothes so that they could get dry? So I had to hang some clothes. And then I had to iron dry my uniform and my son's uniform. I had to iron dry them. And it's like I remember these days from childhood. Because we didn't have a washer and dryer. You washed by hand or, well, in our case, we sent our laundry out to be done. And then you would put a big bag of laundry on the porch. And then they would bring a big bag of laundry back. And that was when I was younger. And then when I got older, I had my little laundry bag and basket. You know, the little rolling basket. I had my little rolling basket, and I rolled it down to the laundromat. Because the laundromat was not too far from where I lived. So I became the one that did the laundry. And I would roll it, my little cart, down to the laundromat and do the laundry and roll it back, fold it up, roll it back. And that was one of my assignments. And I did it. And I did it with no issue because my parents were senior citizens. And retired, and so I understood what a fixed income was. But I realized this morning, you know, that the first thing the enemy wants to do is get you all upset and mad before you have to do what you have to do for God to start thinking about it. And da, da, da. And then I thought, Lord, forgive me. So this morning, Lord, forgive me for anger and getting upset because things happen. Things happen, and what you do, get it fixed and keep it moving. So thanking God for the opportunity, thanking God for the resources to get it fixed or buy a new washing machine and keep it moving. So I thank God this morning for his grace. I thank him for his mercy for getting me on the straight and narrow, because we all fall short of the glory of God. So, Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning asking forgiveness, asking you, oh God, to guide and lead me in what to do as far as my washing machine and dryer and everything else that's going on in my life. But Lord God, I am your humble child, ready to receive whatever it is you need me to do. Lord, I pray that I do it decently and in order. And Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy toward all of us. You woke us up this morning, clothed in right minds, oh God, with eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak. Lord God, I ask forgiveness for wrong attitude. Lord, help me. I'm shaking it off because, Lord, I don't want the enemy to be allowed to pull me off my square, the bad attitude, because the attitude will determine my altitude. So, Father God, I ask forgiveness, and I ask you to watch over and bless my children as you watch over and bless the children of those listening live and those listening later. I ask you, Lord God, to watch over all of us, to guide us and lead us, oh God, that we were you know how the enemy truly is busy. I just got kicked off of my own show. Got kicked off. My line just went blank. And I know it's my phone. Had problems with it on yesterday. And I'm like, okay, busy. Just busy. But the devil is a lie, and we're going to keep moving. Thanking God this morning. And I'm giving God honor and glory and praise. So please join me this morning as we go into our 27th of May word. And we are coming out of 1 Kings chapter 1 and chapter 2. We are in a new word. Yay! We're in a new chapter this morning. And so I'm getting my cute little book that I have that I just absolutely have fallen in love with. And it's called Know Your Bible. All 66 books explained and applied. And it's a great little thing to have. It tells you whatever it is you're going to read in 10 words or less. And so 1 Kings in 10 words or less. Israel divides into rival northern and southern nations. That's it. And some details is that they believe it was written by Jeremiah, and it covered 970 to 850 B.C. It was written sometimes after Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem. The details are King David is claiming help, named Solomon his son with Bathsheba, successor. After David's death, God speaks to Solomon in a dream, offer him anything he'd like, and Solomon chooses wisdom. God gives Solomon great wisdom along with much power and wealth. The new kingdom soon builds God a permanent temple in Jerusalem, and the Lord visits Solomon again to promise blessings for obedience and trouble for disobedience. Sadly, Solomon's wisdom fails him as he marries 700 women, many of them foreign, who turn his heart to idols. When Solomon dies, his son, Rehoboam, foolishly antagonizes the people of Israel and 10 northern tribes from their own nations under Jeroboam, a former official of Solomon's. Two southern tribes continue under Solomon's line in a nation called Judah. Jeroboam begins badly initiating idol worship in the north. Many wicked rulers follow. Judah will also have many poor leaders. Though occasional kings such as Asa and Jehoshaphat follow the Lord, one king introduces the prophet Elijah, who confronts the evil king Ahab and Queen Jezebel of Israel regarding their worship of false god Baal. And God saw Elijah defeat 450 false prophets in a dramatic contest on Mount Carmel. A quotable David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge thus? Judge this thou so great a people. And that's verse 3 and 9 of 1 Kings. And verse 18 and 37 says, Hear me, O Lord. Hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned our heart back again. And this is some unique and unusual about this verse and this chapter of the Bible and this book of the Bible. Scholars says 1st and 2nd Kings are originally a single volume and were split in half to allow for copying onto normal size scrolls. So what? Solomon's example provides a strong warning. Even the most blessed person can drift from God and make big mistakes. And that's why we got to repent. We got to clean up and get ourselves in order, because the enemy is going to come at you from the left and from the right. He's going to come at you to get you off your square, but you got to stand firm and say, for God I live and for God I die. We got to have ask the Spirit and know who we belong to. Let's get started in our word. It's a lot of word this morning. And on tomorrow we will be in the Old Testament, all Old Testament. On Sunday, again, we'll be in all New Testament. And it says this, Now King David was old, advanced in years, and they put covers on him, but he could not get born. Therefore his servant said to him, Let a young woman, a virgin, be sought for our Lord the King, and let her stand before the King, and let her care for him, and let her lie in your bosom, that our Lord the King may be warm. So they sought for a lovely young woman throughout all the territory of Israel and found Abishai, the Shulamite, and brought her to the king. The young woman was very lovely, and she cared for the king and served him. But the king did not know her. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king, as he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen. Does that sound familiar? And 50 men to run before him. And his father had not rebuked him at any time by saying, Why have you done so? He was also very good looking. His mother was born him after Absalom. His mother had borne him after Absalom. So he still got that same Absalom spirit of wanting to take over something. Then he conferred with Joab, the son of Zerah, and with Abathar the priest, and they followed and helped Adonijah. But Zadok the priest, Benaniah the son of Joadad, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and the mighty men who belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fattened calves by the stone of Zehelot, which is by Enlil. He also invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants, but he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaniah, the mighty men, or Solomon, his brother. So Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, Have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king, and David our Lord does not know it? Come, please, let me know. Let me now give you advice that you may save your own life and the life of your son Solomon. So immediately to King David, go immediately to King David and say to him, Did not my lord, O king, swear to your maidservant, saying, Assuredly your son Solomon shall reign after me. He shall sit on my throne. Why then has Adonijah become king? Then while you are still talking there with the king, I also will come in after you and confirm your words. So Bathsheba went into the chamber to the king. Now the king was very old, and Abishag, the Shulamite, was serving the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did homage to the king. Then the king said, What is your wish? Then she said to him, My lord, you swore by the Lord your God to your maidservant, saying, Assuredly Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. So now look, Adonijah has become king, and now, my lord king, you do not know about it. He has sacrificed oxen and fattened cattle and sheep in abundance and has invited all the sons of the king, Abathar the priest, and Joab the commander of the army. But Solomon your servant, he has not invited. And as for you, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are on you, that you should tell them who will sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise, it will happen when my lord the king rests with his fathers that I and my son Solomon will be counted as offenders. And just then, while she was still talking with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. So they told the king, saying, Here is Nathan the prophet. And when he came before the king, he bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, My lord, O king, have you said Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? For he has gone down today and has sacrificed oxen and fatted cattle and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's sons and the commanders of the army and Abathar the priest. And look, they are eating and drinking before him. And they say, Long live King Adonijah. But he has not invited me, your servant, nor Zadok the priest, nor Benaniah the son of Joadad, nor your servant Solomon. Has this thing been done by my lord the king, and you have not told your servant who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? Then King David answered and said, Call Bathsheba to me. So she came into the king's presence, stood before the king, and the king took an oath and said, As the Lord lives, redeem my life from every distress, just as I swore to you by the Lord God of Israel, saying, Assuredly Solomon your son shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place. So I certainly will do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and paid homage to the king and said, Let my lord King David live forever. And King David said, Call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaniah the son of Joadad. So they came before the king. The king also said to them, Take with you the servants of your lord and have Solomon my son ride on my own mule and take him down to Gihon. There let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel and blow the horn and say, Long live King Solomon. Then you shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, and he shall be king in my place, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judea. Then Benaiah, the son of Joadad, answered the king and said, Amen. May the Lord God of my lord the king say so too, as the king had been with my king the Lord, with my lord the king, even so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my king, Lord David. Lord King David. So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaniah the son of Joadad, the Cherites and the Gilatites went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule, took him to Gihon. Then Zadok the priest took a horn of oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the horn, and all the people said, Long live King Solomon. And all the people went up after him, and the people played the flutes and rejoiced with great joy. So the earth seemed to split with their sound. Now Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the horn, he said, Why is the city in such a noisy uproar? While he was still speaking, there came Jonathan, the son of Abathar the priest, and Adonijah said to him, come in, for you are a prominent man, and bring good news. Then Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, no, our Lord King David has made Solomon king. The king has sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaniah the son of Joadad, the Cherites, and the Philistites. They have made him ride on the king's mule. They have, so Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king of Gihon, and they have at Gihon, and they have gone up from there rejoicing so that the city is in an uproar. This is the noise that you have heard. Also, Solomon sits on the throne of the kingdom, and moreover, the king's servants have gone to bless our Lord King David, saying, may God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and may he make his throne greater than your throne. Then the king bowed himself on the bed, and also the king said thus, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has given one to sit on my throne this day while they, my eyes see it. So all the guests who were with Adonijah were afraid and arose, and each one went his way. Now Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, so he arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, indeed, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon. But look, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. Then Solomon said, if he proves himself a worthy man, not one hair of him shall fall to the earth. But if wickedness is found in him, he shall die, to bring him down from the altar. And he came and fell down before King Solomon. And Solomon said to him, go to your house. Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong and therefore, and prove yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word, which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, you know also what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me, and what he did to the two commanders of the armies of Israel, to Abner the son of Ner, and to Amasa the son of Jether, whom he killed. And he shed the blood of war in peacetime, and put the blood of war on his belt that was around his waist, and on his sandals that were on his feet. Therefore do according to your wisdom, and do not let his gray hair go down to the grave in peace. But show kindness to the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table. For so they came to me when I fled from Absalom, your brother. And see, you have with you Shammai, the son of Gera, a Benjamite from Beraram, who cursed me with a malicious curse in the day when I went to Menahem. But he came down to meet me at the Jordan. I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. Now therefore do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man and know what you ought to do to him, but bring his gray hair down to the grave with blood. So David rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. The period that David reigned over Israel, 40 years, 7 years, he reigned in Hebron and in Jerusalem. He reigned 33 years. Then Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. So she said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably. Moreover, he said, I have something to say to you. And she said, say it. Then he said, you know that the kingdom was mine, and all Israel had set their expectations on me that I should reign. However, the kingdom has been turned over and has become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. Ask one petition of you. Do not deny me. And she said to him, say it. Then he said, please speak to the king, Solomon, for he will not refuse you, that he may give me Abishag, the Shulamite, his wife. So Bathsheba said, very well, I will speak for you to the king. Bathsheba therefore went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah, and the king rose up to meet her and bowed down to her and sat down on his throne and had a throne set for the king's mother. So she sat at his right hand. Then she said, I desire one small petition of you. Do not refuse me. The king said to her, ask it, may my mother, for I will not refuse you. So she said, let Abishag, the Shulamite, be given to Adonijah, your brother's wife. And King Solomon answered and said to his mother, now why do you ask Abishag, the Shulamite, for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is my older brother. For him, and as for Abathar the priest, and for Joab the son of Zerah. Then King Solomon swore to the Lord, saying, may God do so to me and more also, if Adonijah has not spoken this word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord lives, who has confirmed me, that sat me on the throne of David, my father, and who has established a house for me, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death by the hand of Benaniah, the son of Joadad. And he struck him down, and he died. And to Abathar the priest, the king said, go to Ananoth, to your own field, for you are deserving of death. But I will not put you to death at this time, because you carried the ark of the Lord God before my father David, and because you were afflicted every time my father was afflicted. So Solomon removed Abathar from being priest of the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord which he spoke concerning the house of Eli at Shiloh. Then news came to Joab, for Joab had defected to Adonijah, though he had not defected to Absalom. So Joab fled to the tabernacle of the Lord and took hold of the horns of the altar. And King Solomon was told, Joab has fled to the tabernacle of the Lord. There he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaniah, the son of Joadad, saying, go strike him down. So Benaniah went to the tabernacle of the Lord and said to him, thus says the king, come out. And he said, no, but I will die here. And Benaniah brought back word to the king, saying, thus said Joab, that thus he answered me. Then the king said to him, do as he said, and strike him down and bury him, that you may take away from me and from the house of my father the innocent blood which Joab shed. So the Lord will return his blood on his head because he struck down two men more righteous and better than he and killed them with the sword, Abner the son of Ner, the commander of the army of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, the commander of the army of Judah. So my father David did not know it. Their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab and upon the head of his descendants forever. But upon David and his descendants, upon his house and his throne, there shall be peace forever from the Lord. So Benaniah, the son of Joadad, went and struck and killed him. And he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. The king put Benaniah, the son of Joadad, in his place over the army, and the king put Zadok the priest in the place of Abathar. Then the king sent and called for Shimei and said to him, build yourself a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and do not go out from there and anywhere. For it shall be on the day you go out and cross the brook Kidron, know for certain you shall surely die. Your blood shall be on your own head. And Shimei said to the king, the saying is good, as my lord the king has said, so your servant will do. So Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. Now it happened at the end of 3 years, and two slaves of Shimei ran away to Achish, the son of Machir, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, look, your slaves are in Gath. So Shimei rose, saddled his donkey, and went to Achish at Gath to seek his slaves. And Shimei went and brought his slaves from Gath. And Solomon was told that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and had come back. When the king sent his call for Shimei and said to him, did I not make you swear by the Lord and warn you, saying, know for certain that on the day you go out and travel anywhere, you shall surely die. And you said to me, the word I have heard is good. Why then have you not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I gave you? The king said, moreover to Shammai, you know, as your heart acknowledges, all the wickedness that you did to my father David. Therefore the Lord will return your wickedness on your own head. But King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he went out and struck him down, and he died. Thus the kingdom was established in the hands of Solomon. And a life lesson from 1 John in chapter 2. It says in chapter 1, verse 51, the life lesson from Dr. Stanley says, indeed, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon. So look, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar. And it says there is a big difference between regretting the consequences of sin and repenting of it. Adonijah feared the possible consequences of his actions, but never repented of them. And eventually that would cost him everything. By exalting ourselves, we can for a time obtain the fame or position or notoriety we seek. But whatever we acquire outside of God's will turns to ashes. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. You are wise men and know what you ought to do. Even at the beginning of his reign, Solomon was considered a wise man. Yet God is able to multiply even whatever we have so that we can better serve him and bless his people. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 15. You know that the kingdom was mine, and all Israel had set their expectations on me. Adonijah revealed a heart still bent on evil to become king with his request to marry King David's concubine. God can never bless unrepentant sin. No one ultimately gets away with any sinful act. As Paul writes, some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. Adonijah was still trying to get the kingdom by marrying David's concubine. He would have elevated himself. And Bathsheba, why in the world would she go to her son with that foolishness? But she did, because we all know underneath all of that beauty was a foolish woman, because she knew she was married, you know, and God blessed her with Solomon. And instead of supporting him, she should have told her daughter, no, I'm not going to do that. Because if she had told him no, she wasn't going to do that, he probably would have lived. But because she did it, that was his death. Because he was trying to, again, usurp the king. Psalm 68, verses 11 through 14. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Kings of armies flee, they flee. And she who remains at home devises the spoil. Though you lie down among the sheepfolds, you will be like the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was as white as snow in Zalman. Proverbs chapter 17, verses 7 through 9. Excellent speech is not becoming to a fool, but less lying lips to a prince. Much less lying lips to a prince. And we already know Adonijah had them lying princely lips and was also foolish. And it goes on to say in verse 8, a present is a precious stone in the eyes of its possessor. Wherever that he turns, he prospers. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a manner separates friends. And our word for this morning is coming out of John chapter 9. You know, every time I read this word, the first thing that comes to mind is you want to say, I once was blind, but now I see. As we all know, there was a healing of the blind man. And as we go, it says, do you believe in the Son of God that God gave me this morning? Do you believe in the Son of God? And it says, so they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, though, that I was blind and now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now, we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God, this blind man is preaching. This blind man that got his sight is preaching. And it says his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sin, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found them, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And I say to you this morning, family, do you, believe in the Son of God? Do you believe in the Son of God? I do. Like I said, I'm not feeling the greatest, but I know one thing, that Jesus is real and that he is the Son of God, and I believe in him. And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. Wow, that's a powerful word this morning, a very powerful word. And some life lessons from this word from John chapter 9 is this, in verse 24. Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. Religious speech often cloaks the darkest of hearts. These leaders wanted the man to speak a vicious lie about God's Son, something that far from honoring God would offend him. You know, give God the glory, for we know this man is a sinner. They trying to put words into the blind man who could see his mouth, and he wasn't having it. He was not having it. He was not having it. They were trying their best to talk some trash, and he was not having it. And then they're going to kick him out of the church because he said, y'all wrong. He told the leadership they was wrong because he knew that he met a man that put something on his eyes, told him to wash, and when he opened his eyes, he could see. He knew what had happened in his life. And it says in John chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, Jesus sought the man out after he heard what the religious leaders had done to him. He does the same thing with us. He seeks us out, offering us his help and encouragement to walk with God. And this is what it says in our life example. And Dr. Stanley says, John 9:10-33, he was free, unfettered by unseen obstacles, and emancipated from blindness. The man rejoiced because Jesus had healed him. Yet the Pharisees could not accept it, and they certainly were not celebrating. As they questioned him, the Pharisees became increasingly argumentative. So the man answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And you know that made him mad. When he asked them, "Do you want to also become his disciples?" You know, that got their goat. Because, see, they thought they was better than Jesus. And they did not like hearing him say, "Do you want to be his disciple?" Because they are in a sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled man. So heavenly bound and no earthly good. You know, not in their own mind. Let me put it that way. In their own mind, they thought they was all that in a bag of chips. That they was the best of the best. And this blind man had to be lying, because how could he get healed? But so then they go pull a technicality where he was healed on the Sabbath. You know, that's what they told in the beginning of the chapter. He was healed on the Sabbath. So they called in his mom and his daddy, and they were like, "He grown." Mom had nothing to do with it, because they didn't want to get kicked out of the synagogue. Because that's like your family. Nobody wants to get kicked out of their church. And as we continue, it says this, "Perhaps there have been areas of your life greatly affected by your relationship with Christ. Do not be surprised when people have a hard time understanding the ways he has worked, because recognizing God's work requires faith. Folks are going to talk about you, vilify you, call you everything but a child of God. But if you know who you are and who you belong to, you don't worry about what people say. You don't worry about what he said, she said, they said, woo-woo said. You keep moving forward in your walk with God. You keep moving forward, and you don't let anybody knock you off your square, because you know who you are and you know who you belong to. However, your reaction should be like that of the blind man. He was thankful for what Jesus had done, and he was willing to tell people that it was Jesus who had healed his blindness. He was even so bold as to suggest that the Pharisees should want to become disciples as well." And it says this. This is a quote from Charles D. Folklog, and it says, "Crosses released us from this world, and by doing so, bind us to God. The man was bound to God because he had been freed from his blindness. Your crosses will bind you to God as well. Give thanks for how he has healed you and rely on him for your strength. Tell people what he has done in your life, and he will make you a great witness for him." As we all know, Evangelist Shannon came on yesterday and told everybody how she had lost her sight, but God has restored it. He has restored it. She has sight, spiritual insight, as well as biological and physical sight. God will give you what you need every time. The question becomes, do you believe in the Son of God? "I believe in Jesus. He is my Savior. And I know that all things are working for my good because I believe in him." So I say to you this morning, this is all I have today. We're not a full hour. I'm going to stop where God is saying stop, and I'm going to move where God is saying move. So we are going to go to a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and then we're going to wrap it up. And it says this, "Good morning. Those who leave everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. Have a thankful Thursday." So family, I say to you this morning, put it all in God's hands, and he will handle it. I'm putting my washer and dryer in God's hands, and I know that he will handle it, because I know that everything is working for my good, because I'm trusting in the Lord. Thank you so much, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And know that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and he loves you more than anything. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. For God is good and greatly to be praised. Thank you so much. Be blessed. It is a wrap.